What up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. We've all been through the situations where we were like, I want to cook, but I just don't have the energy to A, figure out what I'm going to eat, B, go to the store and go shopping, and then deal with all the little bits that can kind of take a lot of the fun out of cooking your own meals. And I'm saying that as like a home cook. I cook at home probably 5 nights a week, and there are certain things that are annoying about traditional grocery shopping, recipe gathering, and cooking. You can get into your own ruts. You make 5, 6 things, and you just repeat those things over and over until you die. That's not fun. That's why HelloFresh is here to help. It's not just about having food delivered to your house. It's not just about meal prepping. What it's about is fresh ingredients, cutting out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips, and putting the fun back in cooking while getting dinner on the table in about 30 minutes. Right? So here's what you do. Every week, HelloFresh puts 25 or more recipes on their website. From vegetarian meals to craft burgers, extra special gourmet options, there's something for everybody, right? The recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. You click on it, and then every week or whatever, every schedule that you put out, they deliver this to you, right? They deliver your produce, they deliver your meats, all vacuum seals, so of course, contact-free, and there's fresh produce and pre-measured spices and stuff like that in the box, in the bag, right? So not only do you not have to buy produce and meats and stuff, you don't have to buy some giant, you know, $9 spice jar to make one meal. That's perfect, right? So then your food comes, and then the ingredients, or the recipe, I should say, is really easy. It's like a photo montage. It's all in, like, the important things are bolded out, so you just put the one page down. You can reference it throughout your meal. I made 4 or 5 of these meals in the last 2 weeks, and they were each about 30 minutes, start to finish. The prep was very easy. The directions were straightforward, and I cooked and ate things I wouldn't normally cook and eat at home. That's what I loved about HelloFresh. You can love it too. Go to HelloFresh.com/smokingtire12, right? HelloFresh.com/smokingtire12 and use code smokingtire12 for 12 free meals. So you do HelloFresh.com/smokingtire12 and then also use code SMOKINGTIRE12 for 12 free meals, okay? HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit, and it's because the food they give you is fresh and delicious, and you can get it for free at HelloFresh.com/SMOKINGTIRE12 using code SMOKINGTIRE12. We are also brought to you today by Honey. You know what honey is? You might have seen it around. I'm not talking about the stuff that goes in a beverage to sweeten it. I'm talking about shopping online, okay? We've all seen that promo code field taunting us at the checkout, right? You go to buy something online. It's like, do you have a promo code to apply? And you're like, no, but if I did, this would be cheaper. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool. It scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, ranging from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you go to check out, the Honey button just drops down from the browser, and all you have to do is click the Apply Coupons button. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site, and if it finds a working coupon, you'll watch the price drop. That is awesome. That is extremely awesome. I have seen prices drop on shoes, I've seen prices drop on clothes, and I've seen prices drop on a GoPro and video equipment that we have bought for this studio. Honey's found over its 17 million members, over $2 million. Nope, I said that wrong, Zach. You have to repeat this. Honey has found its 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on that money. It's literally free. It installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something that I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/tire. That's joinhoney.com/tire. We are, of course, also brought to you for this entire year by the kind people at Tradecraft Farms, the purveyors of the most delicious, scrumptious, delightful THC and CBD cannabis products legally available in California. I just went to visit the kind folks at Tradecraft Farms yesterday to their Port Hueneme location, where it's a beautiful retail store with lots of product. And I procured an amount of product that is, in fact, legal to own and possess, but probably is more than one person would need. And frankly, it is this month, the harvest is extremely fire. I got some what was it called? Skunk cake? It was wedding cake crossed with sour cake. It was called sour cake. And yikes! Yowza! We are in business, folks, for the whole rest of the month. Tradecraft Farms on Instagram, tradecraftfarms.com. And also, you can follow their other brand, just at Fire. The gold joints, those crazy gold joints I be smoking on Instagram, that's just at Fire. So give them a follow on the gram. If you're in California, get it at their retail locations or wherever you legally purchase your THC and CBD products. Ask for it by name and tell them the Smoking Tire sent you. All right, on this episode of the podcast, Philadelphia boy Tony Angelo is in studio. This dude is a G. I love his story. I love how he goes back to the very early days of Formula Drift. I love his attitude, and I love what he's doing with crazy old Mopar stuff. This guy rules. It's a fun time. Tony Angelo from Motor Trend on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
What's going on? Thanks for bringing this Philly beer.
Cheers.
To the studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Well, this is Czech beer, but I brought some Philly beer too.
Oh, that's a good point. You did. You brought Philly beer that we didn't bring into here. Instead, we're drinking the Czech beer, Pilsner Urquell, which I haven't had in probably a decade, and I really am regretting
it's pretty good.
That lost time.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, absolutely.
What brings you to town these days?
I'm in town shooting Hot Rod Garage.
Nice.
On my
Where
trend.
Is the fucking Hot Rod Garage? Is it down here in El Segundo?
Yeah. Yeah, they never changed. Right by the headquarters.
It's been the same place the whole time, right? When the headquarters moved, you stayed. The garage location was the same.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. What do you? Can we talk about what you're working
on?
Oh,
yeah,
the Hot Rod Garage?
We talk about whatever in real time. Yeah, we're doing. So my goal for this year was like, I just want to do fast, gnarly cars. You know, a lot of our show's not like super high budget. It's pretty like attainable stuff, mm-hmm. relatable. But I'm also like tired of building 300 horsepower cars at the same time.
Your shit's insane. I mean, the stuff that you've built in the past, at least, is also pretty insane.
Yeah, thank you. We've done some pretty big ones. But my goal for this year was like, I don't want to build anything too boring. But
that's
we're working,
an easy goal. Nothing too boring.
Nothing too boring.
So that's a good idea.
Yeah, so we're working on the one thing we are doing that's not super gnarly is this T-bucket. So it's called Hot Rod Garage, and I do like, I pick all the car builds out. I like write the outlines. I order the parts. I do a lot of all the creative stuff.
Uh-huh.
But my buddy Lucky is the co-host, and who usually shows up and is like happy to build whatever. And like, what are we doing today? Like literally, yeah, like what do we? You know, he gets invited to like all the meetings, and he doesn't even show up. And he's just like shows up like, what's up, Tony? What are we doing? And I'm like, we're doing this.
Sounds like he's got a pretty sweet deal.
He does have a pretty sweet deal.
If you ask me.
But
if you have the patience for that, it sounds like he's got the fucking gig.
Yeah. We each have our own strengths for sure. But he also does a lot of the like hustle off camera. Like if I gotta like if we button up and there's a day or two left on the car, I'll do that. But we were like, Lucky, what do you want to build? And he was like, let's build a we gave him the, like he got to pick the parts and the car and whatever in the project. So it's like a 27 T-bucket on a 29 Ford frame with a little small block and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I don't know. I've never actually driven a T-bucket, but it seems like one of those things where you could really easy take out a whole row of parked cars.
Oh yeah, it's not. Well, I hadn't either. I didn't until this week. We had built it And then, like, the pandemic payoff was, like, me at home drinking a beer on my couch and him, like, cruising around L.A. and we were FaceTiming. And he was like, this thing is terrible. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, just get, because I'm always the guy driving the car and doing the burnouts and stuff. I'm like, just go do some burnouts and, like, do something cool. And he was like, no, it sucks.
And I'm like, all right. you don't understand. It's yeah, really.
It sucks.
On the scale of, yeah, on the Bronco scale.
Yeah.
That's what we call it. Like, how bad is it related to a Bronco?
Yeah, pretty bad. So we're just making it work. Like, we did, like, I put coilovers on the back and a Panhard bar instead of like this old leaf spring and kind of reworked the front suspension and stuff this week.
It is possible to make one drive like okay, right?
I mean, I wouldn't say good, but probably okay. Yeah, it's going to be better than it was.
I think like not good, but like predictable. Predictable is about the best you can hope for.
I agree.
I point
with
to
that
the wheel here and it actually goes there.
It does what I'm telling it to, just bad, everything badly.
They seem terrifying. Like, tires in the front, huge ones in the back, short wheelbase.
I've gone through like a thing where I was like, as a kid, I was like, I don't care about anything before like 1965, period.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what are these old goofballs doing with these like curvy looking cars? And they're weird and I didn't like them. And then I like started, once I got more into hot rods, I was like, all right, they're pretty cool. And then I drove and I was like, maybe I don't like these. Like, maybe I was right the whole time.
Yeah, your first instinct was definitely right. I have no desire to own like, anything before like the 60s at all.
I agree.
No, maybe I might go as far as 50s if we're talking about something super fire-like.
Yeah. It depends on what you want from it. I think the faster you go, the newer it needs to be. Like a car built in the 40s, you know, cruise at 30 miles an hour. Like that's all you need.
They look cool. I mean, this car looks, it's super, you know.
Oh, is that it right there?
That's it. It's very rowdy, basic,
raw. It does look fucking rowdy. It looks kind of like a period style too, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
Yeah. White wall skinnies on the front. Fucking lots of camber.
Yeah, it's but that's the thing. So you can make anything drive however you want, but it, like, how much work am I going to do this thing to make it really, you know, worth driving? And I'm such an idiot dickhead behind the wheel that, like, I want to go 10 million miles an hour and everything. And like I just didn't get a feel for that car yet. I've only driven it like around the block, and I was like, yeah, all right.
Like, my dream is to build a drift high boy, but I know that they are so bad at driving in general.
Yeah,
a drift high boy.
Yeah,
the only way to do that is going to be just to put a high boy body on another chassis entirely. Yeah. Like that. The Lemons car, the Model T GT.
Yeah.
Remember that car? You remember that thing?
I don't.
I think
it was pitching itself as the world's fastest Model T. But what it really was a Model T like pickup body on like a Mustang.
A Crown
Cobra.
Victoria or something,
I think it was a Mustang,
okay.
Look at this fucking thing. And it was really, really fast, actually.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's a Model T body on some other chassis.
We filmed it for Big Muscle years ago, and Musto drove it, and he's like, why the fuck does this turn? Like,
it's good. Yeah.
Just really sorted it out.
Yeah.
There's so many dudes that are so, like, worked up about the pre-war look that, like, as soon as you did that, people are like, that's not cool anymore. Like, that's got, I can see shocks, and I can see disc brakes. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
If it doesn't suck, I don't like it. It's like the war cry of all those dudes.
I demand this suck for eternity.
Yeah, it sucked originally, and it's going to suck now. That's how it's going to be. And you're like, I guess.
Was that the rat rod thing? Like, rat rods were cool, but they were like, I want the shifter to be so high, I have to reach it with a ladder.
That's part of it. I mean, that's like that whole, like, pin-up rockabilly vibe, the rat rod stuff. But even, like, a lot of these guys that are, like, who I think are cool, and they're, like, building slow old hot rods that essentially are like, you came back from World War II and you just like took your old hot rod and like made it kind of fast and whatever, but like, you know, they were slow and they sucked at doing everything, but people are still doing it.
I guess when they came back from World War II, there was like such a pause in like automaking for a minute.
It's literally,
like,
yeah,
we gotta retool this shit. So it's like, yeah, let's make our old shit boxes like do something interesting.
Yeah,
I've never really. I'd like to try if someone out there in LA has like a really well set up like high boy Ford. I would like to. I'd be interested in checking that out because I've really never had a go in one.
Yeah, we drive our car and we're done.
Is it? I mean, it's possible to make one of those drive like pretty nice, right? Isn't it?
If
you make it a priority.
Yeah. I mean, nice. I feel you on that. Yeah.
Well, wasn't the move always
Art
to buy
Morrison's
those in,
probably got a chassis that fucking works.
Oh, of course. Heights does. A bunch of people have like stuff that really works. But then you're going to give up all that, like all the cool points with all the cool kids, for sure.
Oh yeah, well those people.
What about like the Mustang 2 IFS front end? Like that was the big thing when I would subscribe to like Rod and Custom. It's like you chop the front off, get rid of everything that was designed in the 20s,
yeah,
and put on like, do those drive well?
Yeah, that would be fine. That's okay. What I'm saying, and then you'd lose all your cool points. But yeah, for sure. And you can buy like frames now with that already built in, and like just go
right.
They have, I mean, you could. They have the whole kits, right? You just you don't even start with like original cars.
You can buy a whole car from like Speedway and Heights and all these other people. It's nuts. Like it's like really like those cartoons when you were a kid, where like a car came in a box and they put it together, and you're like, wow, that's crazy. That's
Sam Smith did that from fucking with a Caterham.
Yeah,
they ordered a Caterham and it came in a box. I'm like, shit. All right.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing. I mean, actually, that does seem like kind of fun. Like, I feel like I have not a lot of mechanical ability, but I feel like I could probably, if I started with well-labeled parts that were all brand new in a box, and it was like, I feel like I could do it.
I mean, you just take your time and follow directions. I think you're probably right.
I could probably do it. Yeah. I built the Lego W16 engine, right?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? It's like the same thing.
It's exactly.
Yeah. Sam said the Caterham had a couple of things you had to tweak a bit. It was imperfect.
It was shocker.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, parts were missing. They had to wait for parts to get shipped from England during a pandemic. But, you know, they showed up eventually. Just took a minute.
It's so crazy that, like, parts that just still need you still have to modify your own parts at that point. Like, they haven't figured out this kit.
That's everything. And hot rodding, too. Like, everything that comes in a box, like, you're going to drill it, or you're going to weld it, or you're going to move some holes around. Like, I used to be like, you know, I came from drifting where, like, some stuff is very well thought out and like beautifully manufactured. And then we got into hot rod stuff, and I was like, nothing fits anything. I just might as well make it myself. And then the people were like, yo, these cars are 50 years old and they're getting made, these parts are getting made overseas. And like the variance in the original build was the problem. Like, you know, right. It's not only that, it's not like, you know, you can send a 65 Mustang quarter panel to India to get made, but like if you didn't send the one that fit all the other cars, like no matter how good a job they're doing, you're still gonna wind up trying to like hammer a bend in. And it's just like, it's a lot. It's a lot of it is like a totally different vibe. And like there's just some fabrication and just some like sort of engineering involved in all of it.
Yeah, well, the tolerances were just shitty then. And like, you know, they're all those, you know, all those like Ferrari 250 GTOs and stuff too. Like each of those is like, you can't swap a fender on something like that. It just won't work.
Well, Mike Meyer, who, you know, builds a lot of suspension for 65 Mustangs back in the day, he said, or like 5 years ago, he said every 65 Mustang they've worked on has had a different fitment.
Yeah.
Like they're all from Ford, but they all fit a little bit different.
Perfect. America.
Yeah.
What do you like building? What do you get excited about?
You're a fucking Mopar man.
Yeah, I like Mopar stuff. I like so much different stuff. You know what I mean? I've just done so much. I like building fast cars, and I like making them drive well. But it doesn't matter to me. I love V8 stuff. I love turbo four cylinders. So it depends on, you know. Right now I'm like reviving this old long dead like 240 SX that I bought off a buddy with an SR, so I can go have like a fun drift car.
Missile car type thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so like that's my thing right this minute, but. You know, I just sold my 996, which I was like super in love with.
Oh no.
Yeah, wow. It was just a convertible. I want a hard top. Oh, okay. I don't want to make it nuts, so.
Yeah, well, if you're doing a build, probably.
Yeah, I was sure. I was like, I want a 996. I bet they'll be cool like 2 years ago when they were dirt cheap, right? And I was like, I'll get a hard top and like, I don't know, whatever. And just like a $5,000 convertible needed a transmission fell in my lap. So I did it. I put it on my YouTube channel and stuff like, hey, this is a cool, fun project. And I honestly like, fell head over heel. I was like, I'm not the Porsche guy. I'm not this rich dickhead. I'm not a Porsche guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know, I've done drifting and like hot rods and muscle cars and whatever. I'm like, I'm just not that guy. And like, turns out I'm that guy.
Turns out you're that
turns
guy.
Turns out I was like, at Hot Rod Garage, I'm like working on whatever we're working on shooting. And like between, I'm just like Googling 996 stuff. I'm like, oh, what can I do? This car is so, I love driving. Yeah, it's so good.
Because it's not about being Porsche guy. It's like, oh, you like precision manufactured engines and like slick steering. Feeling gearboxes and good steering. Like, these are objectively very good things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not crazy. My friend, Christian, you know, I take him to like Cars and Coffee with me on Sundays and shit. And he was like having this disdain for GT3 owners because there's just so many of them.
Yeah.
Oh, those fucking people, another GT3. Oh, it's chalk and it's Miami blue. And, whatever. Fuck you. And then I had the new GT3 press car and I let him have a go. And he was like, within 30 seconds, he was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I was incorrect.
Yeah.
These people are all right. I understand.
I get it. Yeah. And I'm like, that could be me. Fine, whatever. I like Porsches a lot.
You can have both.
No one says you
got to be exclusive. They're fun times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, get the, but yeah, the next step up, hardtop.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Still on the 996 train?
I don't know. The prices are starting to equal out and stuff. I really wanted a 997, like C2S, and then like do a little bit of a cage and make like a backroads lunatic car, but I don't know what I'll do. I bought a Lotus Esprit S2.
Oh, really?
So that'd be my next thing to see. I kind of like buying cars and like seeing if I fall in love with them and then like.
S2 would be what, 80s? Late 80s?
80.
Travis Okulski's got one of those too, and he lives by you. He lives in Jersey.
Is that right?
He's the editor of RoadandTrack.com. Oh. He's got an Esprit S2, or it might be a turbo.
I think his is a turbo.
Is this a turbo? Yeah. It's like a late 80s red turbo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting cars. Does it work? Is it working?
It's a project. It runs. It hasn't moved in a long time.
Okay. They're kind of funky to drive too.
Yeah.
They're unique, but they look cool.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
They look really cool. We've got one of the V8 cars in here up on the rack somewhere.
It's very clearly like guys built this in a garage somewhere. Like, you know, like, this took apart from here and apart from there. But like the important stuff is sick. So
yeah, and they're like, I just don't see them. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of Esprits I see a year.
Oh like, yeah,
fucking never.
Well, that's why I came up and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get this thing because they made. Total worldwide, the S2s, they made like 900
over three years
or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Was, dude, If Looks Could Kill, Richard Grieco?
Is that
the movie?
Pretty Woman is one of them. That's
Pretty Woman is definitely the most box office successful, but If Looks Could Kill with Richard Grieco, I told you I like my shitty 80s movies.
Yeah.
So in this film, a teen... is on a trip to France with his French teacher, and gets wrapped up in a spy movie,
as
James
you do,
Bond
as a
situation
teenager.
As
yeah,
you do
in the 80s.
And he is issued by the spy agency like a James Bond esque Lotus Esprit with a bunch of like fucking and the countermeasures and shit in it. Then he goes down and kills all the bad guys in the Lotus Esprit.
And then he gets PTSD, and then he goes back and has to do his final.
Because when you're a high school student that gets accidentally mixed up with a spy and given the spy's car, you just become the spy.
Absolutely,
you obviously
right.
get all the knowledge.
Who do we have to kill? Yep.
Oh, my God.
But actually, if you haven't seen If Looks Could Kill, it probably is not aged that well, but it's a fucking real product of the 80s. And goddamn, that is a fucking funny scene to see that Lotus there. Is that what color is yours?
It's black, but it came this like super cobalt blue that's really cool. So Lotus has a guy in England who just answers your questions. You're like, I bought a Lotus. He's like, hey, I'm Andy. What do you want to know?
You know, I think, Zach, when we got
Are you missing pots?
When we got the Evora press car, didn't it have a guy's phone number in the trunk? Like, on the trunk?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I swear to God, probably. I think the Evora, when you open the trunk, it's like, Lotus of England, blah, 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 David something, and then the phone.
I'm going to be right. There's a full-time historian. I emailed him on a weekend. He got back to me in like 2 hours. I was like, great.
What are you doing, mate? Looking at your Lotus? Oh, yeah. Me too. Cool.
I was like, what does this VIN stuff mean? This VIN plate, I don't think it's the full one. He's like, no, that's right. And he's like, it's a little different in that year, and he told me everything and like where it came through.
How many numbers are in the
VIN? It's like 8 numbers. It looks like half a phone number.
This can't be right.
What does this say?
Is it like a gray market import? I guess they're all gray market import cars, right?
Something like it came through Rolls Royce of California or something. He told me.
Oh, God.
He's like, you can contact them. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Good. That's cool, though. That'll be fun. Are you going to like project it or just like make it work?
I don't know yet. I haven't like got my hands on it yet, so I want to get it. I know the guy, essentially some guy found it in somebody's backyard, got it running, and just put it up and was like, hey, it doesn't move. Like the clutch is stuck. And some guys are like, oh, that just happens to those cars. Like water gets in it's a Citroën Trans or something. And they're like,
it's a Renault Trans.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible gearbox.
Yeah, the early one is Renault. Yeah, so they're like, You can just break it loose and it'll probably drive around. So
I know I had the same trans in my DeLorean when I had
exactly,
that.
It's a real,
it's like a shit pile trans.
Yeah, great.
There's a dude on, speaking of DeLoreans, there's a guy on Instagram who I follow who's building a DeLorean with that Steve Maxwell guy. Remember Steve Maxwell? He built the twin turbo Ferrari 348.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing a DeLorean that they apparently just, he sent me the telemetry. It ran like an 11.5 quarter mile. It's got some fucking
twin. They put an LS in it?
I think it's a twin turbo, possibly LS something something. And I was like, you guys are nuts.
Yeah,
like,
the frame's an X in that thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but apparently this dude is spending the money to reinforce the chassis.
Wow.
Like he's like, I this is probably this is a person with a lot of money, and he's like, this is probably a very dumb idea, but I am just gonna spend the money to make sure it's done right. I'll plug him. His Instagram is Lamberfuckingini. It's Instagram.com/Lamberfuckingini. Which is a great Instagram name.
That's solid.
He sent me a hat, which matches my car. It's great. So he's doing it.
There it is.
There it is, yeah. And there it is. Whatever the fuck, you can see a picture of it. I don't know what, there's a big intercooler. That looks like a Coyote. It's a Voodoo, yeah. I think. Or a Coyote. It's a Coyote. Yeah, yeah.
With intercoolers.
With big, giant turbo. Brick intercoolers.
And the license plate is McFlyin, which is a fucking cool license plate. I hope that thing drives as good as it looks. He sent me clips of it running. It sounds crazy. And he seems like a psychopath.
Yeah.
There it is. Can we get audio of that? Oh, dude, it looks fucking gnarled. They really got the engine, like, low.
In there, yeah. That's a giant engine.
They definitely dry sump. Oh, wow. Turbo fucking noise.
Jeez, what a nut.
That's real crazy. Oh, my God. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like real, like, supercar-y.
Yeah, it does. 405 wheel horsepower.
Yeah, and it looks like that's on, like, a Mustang dyno, so that's a lot.
Yeah, that thing is going to be cool. If it doesn't destroy itself,
that's crazy.
Fucking great. I think he did have to put bigger wheels on it. Oh, can you see go to the top and see the... Because he said he got big... I was like, what did you do about the tiny brakes? He said, I had to put bigger wheels. Oh, okay, he got those. So DMC makes a wheel that looks like the DeLorean original wheel, but it's 17 and an 18, and it actually looks all right.
Yeah, it does.
Looks pretty good.
That's insane. I've ridden in your DeLorean, like, that should not have 500 horsepower. No. I mean, you must have braced the shit out of it underneath, but geez, more scaffolding than a building.
Homie said I can drive it. I think maybe
should.
Haggerty season 2?
Yeah.
Definitely?
Yeah, because you can speak about how crap that car was to drive when it was stock.
That I drove one that a guy built, Tony, it's 10 years ago, that had a Grand National engine in the back of it. And it worked pretty good right up until it doesn't. It stranded me on the side of the road. But it was fun for a second. I think that car sold on Bring a Trailer for like $60,000.
Yeah, I don't have like any attraction to those cars.
To DeLoreans?
Yeah, I just don't.
It's a purely childhood emotion for me. Yeah. You know, if 5-year-old Matt was like, spaceship.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I bought it, owned it for a little bit, and I was like, I see what the thing is here. It's, you know. The good news is the Countach actually drives.
Yeah, the Countach. 5-year-old me gets the Countach.
That drives like it looks, which is actually good. Yeah, yeah. What was your 5-year-old dream car? Was it muscle cars?
No. It was like probably an F40 or something. Uh-huh. Or honestly, I had a Countach on my wall for sure.
What color was it?
White.
You had the white one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the white one too. Yeah.
I even paid $5 at the Philly Auto Show to like sit in the white one for maybe from Cannonball or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like a little kid.
There's a photo of me from when I was a kid. I used to make my parents take me to this like gray market dealer in Atlanta where we lived. And I'm in all these embarrassing outfits as a little kid sitting in the fucking cars, like LM002s and 25th anniversary Countaches and shit.
But yeah, it's weird. Like, I've done, you know, I've been kind of all over in the car world, which is okay with me. But yeah, early on, I was just like exotic. Like, my dad was like in trouble all the time, but I love to read. So they were like, I was a little kid, and my dad bought me like a big exotic cars book, and it was all like crazy. Like, does like, like the LM02 or whatever, and like a bunch of weird
dream,
everything like
dream
Pininfarina,
exotics.
All that stuff.
I bet you that book, because I probably had the same one when I was a kid. I bet it's on the shelf out there.
Really?
I had all of them. Yeah, I had all of them. Yeah, like dream Ferraris, you know, big coffee table books and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like, we didn't have the internet. That was what we had. Yeah, that was the thing.
I was like 5. Yeah, we just like,
Zach, do you have something I can use an opener over there? Like a lighter? or something. I didn't bring an opener into the studio because I am not smart.
Now, I can get one.
Would you find a lighter from the lounge or something? Sorry. Because this is
I'd like
this
to have
a bad situation here. I'll re-up you.
Thank you.
The Vector, dude.
Yeah, that car blew my mind as a kid.
Can you believe those things are selling at auction for like $700,000 now?
We're in a weird place, man. We're in a weird place with like all car values. People, like, you know, 5 years ago, and I'm always the guy that's like, oh, I should buy this. This is a great value. Like BMW 8 Series or like, you know, 300Zs or whatever. And I'm like, these cars are going to be worth money, right? Like, yeah. I should get this now. And like, they are. Now they are. And like, everything that's like 80s cool is like just nuts.
Because the people that, you know, when those folks who saw them as kids like us are, you know, now getting a little cash, getting into, you know, the back half of their 30s.
Yep.
You know, Skylines.
Yeah, nuts. I love, that was one of my favorite things. They were like, oh, well, they're going to import these things and they're going to be 18 grand. And then like five seconds later, they were twice as much money.
Sean Morris at Top Rank Importers, who's the JDM guy around here, he told me, you know, because they're doing this thing where they got a warehouse in Tokyo, and so you can buy a, you know, a 34 over there, and they'll just store it. I don't know, it's $200 a month or something, and store it, you know, indefinitely until it's legal. They're selling those for $200,000 over there. Not you just and then you have to pay to store it for like, you know, however, like 3-4 years.
That's nuts. That breaks the thing. That's nuts.
Yeah, 200K.
Because they think it's just going to go nuts when they're allowed to come in here.
I mean, they already are. There's not a lot of 34s. There's a lot fewer of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more of those than there are 22Bs, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, if the 22B went for 300 grand.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, selling them over there for 200. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People are kind of front running.
Well, there's some of the more special Scott R34s or more. Like the for like a
Nismo.
Yeah, if you want like the Spec V NER or whatever, it's like it's up from there. Yeah. Cuz some of those you can show a Spec V NER you can show and display.
Wow.
You could get that federalized now.
So fast.
Yeah. So those are good. Have you had a go in R34? They're lovely.
I drove one once when we were doing drifting stuff, but not hard.
But they're fucking nice.
Oh, it's a cool car. I love it. Cool. I would get a 32 for sure.
Yeah, they're great. They're such good value. I mean, even at $35,000, they're still really good value.
A buddy of mine in Texas, my buddy Stu, what up, Stu, does like insane hop-up parts and bought one and is like flipping it right now. It's like, it's got a little motor tick in it. It's like 29. I'm like,
time to go.
I'm like, because he has a nice one. He has like a monster car, but he has like, he's like, I bought this and I was gonna part it out, it's too nice, it has a little motor stick. Like,
you're like, ooh, maybe I get rid of this Lotus
29. Yeah.
Ooh. I gotta go down. Sean just imported one of the top secret cars, the Smoky Nagata ones. It's fucking gold. It's like a R34.
Of course it's gold. Yeah.
It's so fucking, it's on their Instagram. It's on the Top Rank Instagram. It's fucking cool. They also have another one. They're doing this Built by Legends thing. Have you seen this? They're importing, they're selling, they're having mines in Japan, famous tuner company, build Resto Mod R32 GTRs in Japan.
That's dope.
Using a combination of mines and Nismo restoration parts. They're doing full teardowns, you know, they're repainting the whole cars, new interiors, and, you know, it's like 500 horsepower, completely tuned by mines, and they're importing them and selling them complete package. I don't know how much they cost. They're expensive.
A lot.
A lot of car companies are getting on this now. Like, didn't Porsche just announce that they're going to do like one-off builds for the right customer, all that stuff, and, like refurb everything?
Well, Ferrari's been
doing that forever.
Yeah, Ferrari's fucking prince. Eric Clapton has probably single-handedly transferred like $20 million to Ferrari in coach-built modern vehicles.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but like there's so much. They've, all the companies like Aston Martin and all of them, they've realized that like we could either sell, you know, 2,000 of these for 200 grand, you know, or 200 of these for 2 million, or 20 of these for 20 million, you know, and shit, that math makes things, you know, awful easy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wow. They're like, look, if you guys like all the old cars, we'll sell them to you again.
Yeah.
But they've got this, the first of these Built by Legends cars, the mines, it's coming in. So he said we can have a go with it, but it's like a full, you know, it's like a brand new R32 GTR.
I just saw pictures online on Facebook of someone who, like, it might be the same project.
Is it pearl white?
No, this is a blue car, I think, and underneath it was Magnum. I mean, like, you know, when they get into, like, reanodizing the bolts and stuff, part of my brain is just so happy. It's like, oh, my God, yes. Like, everything looks brand spanking new, and you're like, oh, my God.
That's like the Pagani treatment almost.
You're like, ugh.
Or like when Donnie took my fuel injector lines to the jet propulsion lab to be re...
Not anodized, plated or something?
No, chromium plated?
Yeah,
or
gold.
Something like that?
Yeah, they're cool.
Some crazy shit? I don't know. It was really cool. It was awesome.
It looked amazing.
Yeah.
How did you... Like, you said you've been everywhere in cars, and you definitely have. Like, your career is really varied, which is cool. So how did you jump into drifting, and then how did you go from that to, like, I'm going to build hot rods on this show and for the magazine and just build these fucking Frankenstein mobiles at times?
I can give you my whole kind of thing. I guess it's kind of been a wag. So I was into whatever as a kid, like, loved all cars. And then I was, like, in a regular kid stuff, like skateboarding and snowboarding and whatever. I was, like, 12. But I had a mechanical aptitude always as a kid. And my mom was like, my dad's young. You know, my dad had me, he was like 24.
He's like 5 years older than you?
Yeah, he's like five or six years older than me. But I was 12, he was still in his 30s. You know, he was turning 40 or something. And my mom was like, your dad always wanted this Camaro. And they grew up in South Philly, both of them. The first ones to go to college, both of them. My grandpa, one was in the United Auto Workers. Like, they love cars. But he never got to have anything cool because they never had any money. And he got like an engineering degree and stuff. And so they did all right. Moved us out of the suburbs. And she was like, he always wanted the 68 Camaro. Learn about it. See what he wants. Hint around. And let's go get one. And I was like, all right.
Like, as a gift?
As a gift.
Oh, cool.
Like a surprise 40.
Yeah, neat.
He has like crazy wants and needs. He wants like a 68 SS RS convertible, matching numbers, which, like, if I ever do build them, he never got it. Didn't happen, by the way. We bought one, we took it back. But I was 14 or whatever by this point. It had been a while. And I was like, okay, cool. He's not getting a muscle car. But I was like, I am definitely getting a muscle car. Like, that's going to be my I was just like head over heels, like, dope, I'm doing this. And I looked at a bunch of cars with him, and I worked at a tire, immediately got a job at a tire shop, like, full-time when I was, like, 14 and 15. You can get a license at 16 in PA. Saving money, looking at better and better cars. Looked at, like, Cutlasses and GTOs, all the stuff that needed work. And then he was like, my dad's a stickler, too, which I love. But he was like, this car sucks. This is, you know, look at this 69 Chevelle 396 four-speed car.
That's shitbox, son.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't, you know, he was like, I don't like the lifter tick on it. And the guy was like, it's got solid lifters. And my dad was like, well, whatever it was, he was like, not having it. And then finally I found my Demon. I have a 71 Dodge Demon, which I still have, my first car. And I went to look at it, and it was a screaming deal when I bought it. I was like still 15. And
I've seen like recent photos and videos of it. Yeah. It looks like a pretty nice car.
It's a pretty nice
car. Was it
car.
Nice the whole time, or is it a lot nicer now than it used to be?
I didn't touch the body in paint and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. It looks good.
So it looked
nice.
Good.
Yeah, cool.
It was fun.
It's
and
green.
Cool.
It's
yeah,
fucking mean.
Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There it is.
That is the, what year is that? 73?
One. 71. That's the last good year to leave your collector.
Well, somebody on our show the other day, we did a little Q&A show, and someone asked us about the late 70s Mopar, and they were a fucking horror show.
Yeah.
It got real bad.
Oh,
After this.
That was really ugly.
It took a turn south. Yeah.
I mean, the 70s, the late 70s and early
80s. Well, everybody.
Bad.
Yeah, everybody, bad for everybody. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, now they're like somewhat collectible because you just take whatever you can get your hands on, and they came with a V8, and you can put whatever you want. But men, you know, essentially, the high, you know, GM and Ford kind of after 70, they kind of like, you know, sterilized their cars a bit. But Mopar hung on for another year, so that's still like all the power and all the good stuff. But it's all super modified now, anyway.
That's cool looking,
yeah,
though.
So
most
I bought that
importantly,
first.
It probably sounds very good and it's cool looking.
It does, and it's fun to drive. And I've got a ton of suspension stuff on it, like QA1 coilovers and like a hidden six link and stuff. That
oh, cool.
But I didn't want to do too much. Because it's
Larry Chen photos. Yes, always use the Larry Chen photos.
Yeah, Larry's sick.
Whenever possible. That's like rule number one, podcast presenting. Whenever possible, use the Larry Chen photos.
So I started out as Hot Rod Kid. Like, you know, I'm reading like everything Freiberger's written at that point, like in 8th and 9th and 10th grade or whatever it is. I bought my Demon. And then I like... went to college. I was a lunatic kid. I mean, like, I don't know how to explain this. Like, I was trouble. Like, big,
really?
Big, like, no bullshit. Like, just in trouble all the time.
Juvie Hall trouble?
No, but close. I mean, like, you know, if I wasn't an adorable white kid, I'd be in jail for sure.
Right.
For sure. And also my parents were in South
Philly or in Jersey?
Like, in Bucks County, outside of Philly.
Oh, yeah, right. Bucks County, man. Fucking guns.
Yeah.
All the guns.
Yeah, so we were getting wild all the time. So I was just like... I got thrown out of college the first time, and I moved home, and they were like, my mom taught at community college, and they were like, you can go to her school. We'll give you like $1,000 just to get something reliable. And all I heard was like $1,000 to buy a car. Like, that's all in my brain was like, what are we going to get? It's the coolest thing I can get. So I wound up with like 86 GTI. And then I got into a bunch of like, I spent a couple years doing water cooled Volkswagen stuff.
Uh-huh. Waterfest.
Yeah, I loved it. Like, and then, wound up working at a 944 turbo shop.
Oh.
Like, that was short-lived but super cool, like right there in Warminster.
There was a 944 turbo specialty shop? That's all they did?
Well, no, they did. It was a Porsche shop. Okay. But like, that was their thing. Was
do it. One thing, do it well.
Yeah. So I got to do, like, it's the first time I was ever in a racetrack, like autocross or whatever, there as, like, a teenager. They let me drive the cars, which was sick. And then I was like, turbo is awesome. Rear-wheel drive is awesome. Like, good handling is awesome. I want all these things. And I can't afford it. I'm like 19. I was making like, you know, no money and getting ready to go back to school. And I was like, well, what can I get that's that? And I wound up buying my first RX-7 turbo.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's what I did. Yeah. So I bought a white RX-7
turbo. Actually, I can get almost exactly the same thing.
Pretty much the same Japanese knockoff thing. So I bought that for like $2,000 or $2,500 or whatever.
It was FC, I imagine, FC, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 87.
The same thing.
Yep. Yeah, it was turbo. It was awesome. And I like... spent the whole summer raising hell and like sliding around on back roads in PA.
Of course, you got like the most obnoxious sounding car too.
Oh yeah,
right?
It was so ridiculous. mine was white. It was awesome, and I wound up working with this dude in the kitchen who had an Eclipse. His name was Eric Forsberg, Chris Forsberg's older brother.
Oh, get the fuck! There you go.
So like I'm sliding this car around, making a racket and a little bit of like a name for myself in town, being a moron. I wound up wrapping it around like a telephone pole.
Ooh.
At the same time, he's like, oh, my brother's Blazer base wagon needs a water pump. Chris Forsberg's first car was like a base wagon Blazer. So he's like, can you come over for the water pump on it? I'm a couple years older than Chris, but not much. So I fixed it for him, and then Eric had this Eclipse, and Chris was like, I want a faster, cooler car than that. I'm going to buy RX-7, and he bought all my old performance parts, and then like... we were kind of off and running on like RX-7 turbo. So me and Forsberg lived like a mile and a half from each other. So we...
Was the Eclipse cool?
It was all right. It was
like a GSX?
We would stuff to our cars and it would make a huge difference. You'd be like, holy shit, a downpipe and exhaust. Yeah. Like, damn, we're flying. And we would do it to the Eclipses and then we'd be like, I guess I could feel it. Like, can you feel it? It's better. This is better than before, right? It was never like that big moment. We got to the point where like... porting exhaust manifolds and putting T4s on them and stuff, and I was like,
"Is this before the 4G63?"
No, this is 4G63. No, it was a 95. It was a second gen.
Okay,
Were not that fast,
dude. I remember at one point I had a 94 Mustang GT at the time, and I made it look like a Cobra R. It looked just like a Cobra R, and we put a 347 stroker and shit. I mean, all this shit, right? And I'm not good at wrenching, but my friends were, and so I basically passed them tools and whatever.
Yeah.
But at one point, I sent the heads off to be ported and polished.
Yeah.
And it was like $2,000. I mean, it was like expensive. And I came back, and I was like, well, that feels exactly the same.
Yeah, it's not that big a difference. Yeah.
Can you know hear about Jason Kamisa, his cams?
Mm. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Jason Kamisa's got an imported wagon, 3 mm-hmm. Series wagon, E30 wagon.
Yeah.
Fucking cool. And he wanted to make some more power. It's a 25, right? It's a 25, 325i.
Yeah,
wagon or something. I or IS, whatever. It's an E30 wagon. You got a set of cams, hot rod cams for it.
Yeah.
Made it fucking
Kelford or something.
Idle like a race car and a Schrick or whatever the fuck it was. Mm-hmm. Dynos the car beforehand, goes all this bullshit. Putting cams, it's like a big job in this car. He does the whole thing. I think it got one horsepower.
One horsepower. He was pissed. Put a turbo on that thing. Yeah.
What a cool looking car, though.
But yeah, so Chris and I started like making our RX-7s faster and faster and faster, and nobody at the time was doing anything with those cars except for like dudes drag racing them in New York. So Chris's dad was like working in Asia, and we had some friends that were like into anime, and we saw like Initial D, and his dad started bringing us option videos, and we were like, oh, drifting. Like,
Holy shit. We're
reckless idiot kids. Let's make our cars drift cars. And that's what we did for like a year on the street.
Holy shit.
And then like a year later, we met Matt Petty and started like the East Coast events. And then a year later, we were like doing Formula D.
That's fucking so crazy. What year was your first year in Formula D?
Oh, four.
So that the first was year. The first year.
First
year. It was the first year.
First
oh,
year.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
If you want to be a professional at something, it helps to start it the year they start.
Yeah, get
the
in
sport.
On the ground floor. Yeah.
that's a good piece of life advice right mm-hmm. there.
If you're the fourth employee at Facebook, you are the fourth smartest person at Facebook.
It's true. Yeah.
Even if you're here, man. A fucking idiot.
Yep.
Oh, that's
wow.
fucking crazy.
Is that Club Loose?
Club right? Loose, yeah. It was called DG Trials back then, but yeah, same thing. Same guy.
I shot a thing there, and I got to ride with Gabe Correa.
Okay, yeah, I know Gabe.
And, you know, when he was 14, and I was like, how long have you been driving? He's like, a month.
Yeah.
And that's driving drift cars, not on the street, of course.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Of course, the kid could slay.
Yeah.
It's so
well,
fun.
He's been around
there.
It forever. I mean, I've even known him since he was, like, 8 or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A little nothing. So
wow,
yeah.
So you were, like, not patient zero, but something like
close,
that.
Close,
basically, yeah, right?
Yeah, we were, like, just doing stupid drift stuff. We were making, our cars wound up being pretty fast. Like, we started street porting them and putting TO4s on them and stuff, and they were, like, 12-0 cars, probably, running around Bucks County farm roads.
The RX-7s?
The RX-7s were, yeah. They were
Did
pretty
Did those
nasty.
Become the quick. First FD cars? Your first FD cars?
My first FD car was Chris's, I bought Chris's RX-7, and his parents had got him, like, a Z, and they, like, he did a bunch of stuff
oh,
to
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah. He went straight to
he
Z's,
went right to,
right?
Yeah, well, he went, yeah, like, he got picked up by Signal, and he had that Z, and, like, they worked it up and whatever.
But who won that first season? Who was champ that first
Sam.
Season? Oh, Sam Hoobenhead, yeah.
He won
yeah.
every event except for Irwindale.
Really?
Because Forsberg beat him in that Z. Nobody would have beat him. It was nuts.
Sam Hoobenhead is a very good driver.
He's a good driver, but he was in a tube frame car, and it was not cool. It was super not cool. It was super not cool.
What was his car?
I mean, Sam can drive his ass off.
What was his car?
It was like a GTSR Viper. It was
oh,
like
the
a
Viper,
real,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah
it
yeah.
was not cool. I had like a 300 horsepower RX-7.
Oh, yeah.
And this dude had like the nastiest.
Wasn't he in the Viper that kept racing with like 7 different drivers after him? Like,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It became the village bicycle of cars.
I drove it at one point. Yeah. I tested with him afterwards.
Was it fun?
It was pretty cool. It had a shorter, like, huge burst of power, but really narrow for what it was. I thought it would, like, rev more or something. But, yeah, it was pretty well sorted.
Yeah. It's I mean, any car that can fucking run 18 seasons before
yeah.
Drift is like, yeah, that thing that's a champion, that car.
Yeah.
What was it like the first season when you went from, really quickly, too, from, like, let's watch these videos about this new sport that we've just discovered
yeah.
through a fucking cartoon, really. And then,
yep.
what, 2 years later, you're like,
we're American pro drifters. Yeah, it was wild, dude.
And how old are you at the time?
Like 23
wow.
or something. Yeah. And all I ever wanted to do was race cars. But I was also like a complete obnoxious dickhead and like burned all my bridges and was like a total lunatic. Like I just thought like, oh, I'm in Motley Crue. You guys have to, I'm the shit. You guys don't understand. I'm the shit here. And like they're clearly like, do you want to be this? And I was like, yes, I was meant for this. So thank everybody get out of my fucking way. And I'm like, get out of my fucking way and like tell me where the bar is. So yeah, it's a bummer. Like I sort of squandered some of those opportunities. And it's fine. It all worked out in the grand scheme. But like, it was wild. It was wild because everyone was figuring it out on the way. Like, the judging was getting figured out, and like Formula D was figuring out tracks on the go. Like, everyone was like really collaborating to make it happen.
That's crazy.
Except for me, who was like kicking windows out of rental cars and shit, and being a moron.
You're like, no, I'm great. You guys figure this out.
You guys, no, I was helping.
I'll be at the bar.
I think drifting is super cool. Even now, you know,
so
like I said, car I'm building right now is a drift car. But, yeah, it was wild. It was very cool to be, like, right on the bleeding edge of that stuff and just being a part
but
of it.
So exciting.
It
That's
was
amazing.
Really exciting. Yeah, it was so weird. They were like, I was like, cool. So, like, this super random thing, because everyone in America was, like, Hondas and, like, car show culture and, like, eclipses and all that. That was all import anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they wrote about and super
fun. The Funkmaster yeah. Flex Celeb car all show. Remember that shit in North
yeah,
Jersey?
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah, that's all there was. And, like, you know, it was, like, rave culture and stuff and, like, hot import nights. And we were, like, yeah, that's not... We were, like, we were, like, tattooed BMX kids and we were, like, this is not us. And we were into drifting, and drifting felt very counterculture to all that stuff. And then, like, honestly, it was, like, we met this kid, Matt Petty. Me and him went to the owner of Englishtown. Thought we'd get laughed out of the room. He was, like, I love it. Let's do 10 events the first year.
Wow.
Kids showed up, like, crazy immediately. And then... There was a D1 driver search like the first year, and they were like, a guy from Wired magazine wants to go out with you guys, and we were like, what does that even mean? Like, so we did, and
was?
We were in like Charles Graber.
Oh yeah, I actually know that guy.
Yeah, he's cool as shit.
Yeah.
And we were like just idiot kids. Like, the story was going
to
be
good,
like,
on fucking Charles and Wired magazine.
It was incredible.
To find that so fast.
It was nuts, dude. Yeah, and we were like, essentially the whole story was going to be like, we lived in like a drift flop house. You know what I mean? Like ordering parts in Japan. And like
it's an
flipping.
Incubator, please. Yeah, it's called whatever. An incubator. Yeah.
You know, there was like turbos in the sink and like we were like, you know, partying our asses off and like.
God damn, there's a reality show in this, huh?
Flipping burgers, on the weekend and then like building our drift cars. So
there absolutely would have been a show in this.
Yeah.
100%.
Or a great skate video. Something like, you know, skate, but just replace skating with drifting.
Yeah, and, yeah, pretty much. That's all we did.
That's rad. That sounds so fun.
It was super fun. And then like, we were like, hey, we're going to go try to join this Japanese league. And he's like, I'm going to come to that. And we're like, okay. And then like awesome. The article came out and it was a big deal. It was like the first mainstream drifting thing. It was cool.
And did you guys go to Japan and then try to compete?
No, they brought the D1 pros here. Again, like these are dudes I never thought I would see in my life. Like, you know, Team like, Orange and
yeah,
Imamura.
Team Orange was so rude.
Guys you saw in the fucking imported video like, and the weird VHS like fucking
shit. Like Kaguchi, yeah. And some of the guys are cool as shit. Like Kaguchi is cool as shit. Yeah. Like jean jacket, cigarette, radical. And I was like, I'm going to hang out with that guy. And like we became bros and I was like, this is...
That's amazing.
Nuts. So yeah, it was just a wild, it was a wild ride and it was really cool. And we had some great, you know, we had some really like sponsors that jumped right on and like we had some wild fun times.
Has the driving... I mean, of course, it's changed a lot. Like, we talked to Forsberg for a while. Like, the cars have obviously evolved a lot.
Yeah.
Was everyone just figuring out the driving, or did you just watch as many of like the Drift King videos as you could, and then?
We didn't watch like the Drift King stuff. We kind of figured it out on our own, and then to be honest, I think American drifting now, all drifting now, is like based out of the like Northeast style of like super committed, super over the top, super smoky, like all that. It's like.
As opposed to the more ballet
yeah,
type
more
style of the
bit,
Japanese
yeah,
guys, a
yeah.
little less smoky, lower yeah. power kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like we kind of helped establish like more American style. But yeah, we just figured it out. But it also like, you know, we all had like the kid, like my best buddy was Forsberg. So yeah. like he's incredible. So we all pushed each other. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like Vaughn was already coming to the events and Turk was coming to the events in like 2003. So we all were just like, who can do this? And it was like very much like, I can do this. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. Like he was like, you know, pushing each other constantly. So it was a bunch of good dudes just pushing super hard.
That seems like a fucking the place to be.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
That definitely would have been the place to be at that particular time.
It was dope.
Yeah.
And then we came to California.
I was drag racing at Englishtown.
Yeah.
Like 2 years before that in that Mustang.
Yeah.
Running fucking 13s, baby. Like dope. Fucking really running those 13s, you know?
That was probably fun. I ran my RX-7 there probably the same time.
Really?
14.9 when it was still all stock
yeah,
turbo and stuff.
There and Island Dragway was yeah. the other one I went to. And was it Lebanon? Is that where that shit was?
I think so. I've never been to Island. I've just been to Maple
Grove. It was a fucking shithole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was grimy. It was grimy. Englishtown was cool. Englishtown was really like a congregating point for all kinds of motorsport culture.
Well, it's
though.
Such an interesting place. It's like less than an hour from New York City. Yeah. And like it's like an hour from where we were. It was just like... It's not far from like all the beach towns. Like, there's people coming from all over. It's,
yeah,
it's a cool.
It's a track cool that's. It's one of the closest tracks. Like, it has the closest proximity to just the things. Like Willow Springs feels it's out in the middle of the desert. Even when you're in Palmdale, it's away from the town.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Laguna Seca, same thing. But Englishtown was like you're driving past a sandwich shop and,
exactly,
and a tailor
yeah.
And then you make a left and you make a right and it's like there it is.
Yep.
That's like right there.
Yeah. Well they don't. I mean, you know. That it's old. They
yeah.
don't. They
that's
don't. They don't zone
yeah, yeah,
that anymore.
Right. Yeah. No. That's cool.
Yeah. People move in and complain about the racetrack.
I
and you're
know.
Like, we've been here for 65 years.
Yeah. We call that a lime rock.
Yeah.
That's called.
Sucks.
Yeah.
It's like it's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just at Laguna, and it's still the fucking best.
That's a cool track.
Yeah. As long as you're driving a quiet car, you're good. You're good
yeah.
to go. I was driving an Acura. Oh yes. Very exciting. As was Ryan Eversley, was driving the Acura NSX that ended up downstairs with Zach, and Ryan broke it.
Oh,
yeah, Ryan
okay.
broke it. We can have, actually, I meant to DM Ryan. He wants to come on the show. He can explain himself.
That'd be great.
He broke a brand new car?
I was on the press launch for the new TLX Type S.
Sounds good.
It's better than it than my pseudo sarcasm just
yeah.
made it sound. The way it came out of my mouth sounds like it's not a good car.
Okay.
It actually is a fine automobile. You know, as they do with the press launches, they bring the hot shoe, and they were doing like lead follow sessions. And so Ryan was driving an NSX, and everyone else was driving TSXs, which That must have been like, you know, one-handed on a phone call for Ryan for most of them, but he managed to break a sway bar and link on the car.
He wore out
a sway bar.
Yeah, he wore it out, and then when I drove 20 miles an hour for photos, it broke.
Got it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So we're going to have Ryan explain himself.
That's not that bad.
I'm guessing it was his line. It was his line. Well, you know, how many times you go down the corkscrew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe on the curbing a little bit there.
Turn two, I think they said it was like the front right strut. And I was like, I was like, yeah, so turn two, downhill, hard left. Like, that's going to put a lot of pressure
on
that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks, Ryan. I thought you left the car at the fucking dealer, by the way. I didn't realize you brought it back here.
No, they said it was safe to drive, so I drove it back here, and then it stays here, and they'll pick it up tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I was just surprised to see it downstairs. I thought it was bye-bye.
Oh, the whole time on the way, I was right back. I'm like, I'm going to get stopped. It's just going to break on the highway. Yeah. I'm just going to come to a stop, middle lane 405, and just be there.
Because it's not just a sway bar. It's a wheel speed sensor's broken, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which, when you've got an all-wheel drive hybrid,
it needs to know that information. Yeah, it needs that bad. Yeah.
Can't really work without that kind of information coming back in. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. One of the things I really liked that I took a peek out of your channel was this fucking, I don't know if it's a 70 or 71 and if it's a CUDA or if it's a Challenger, but it's got a 6.1 Hemi in it, and it's loud and fucking seems like it handles pretty good.
Yeah, it's a 6.4 Hemi.
Oh, it's a 4, sorry.
Yeah, it's a newer one.
It's a modern one, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking nasty looking. You can check it out.
It looked like you were drifting it. Is that like set up for drifting?
Yeah,
really?
Pretty much. I always wanted a CUDA. And I will, like, essentially, like, after all the drifting stuff happened, and I was, like, trying to get a real job, and I knew I wanted to get into video stuff. But I had,
that
like...
That looks fucking good.
I got over and took over the show Howard Garage and Motor Trend. We were like, what do you want to do? I kind of, like, got control of the show, like, the second year, and I was like, I want to build a drift muscle car. Just sort of, like, bring all my stuff together.
Mm-hmm. It's like...
yes, dude.
It's like Vaughn's RTR-X thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This is... I really like the color scheme. It's... is it Plum Crazy?
That's a Jaguar color.
What is it? Like, what's the name of the color?
I forget. It's from, like, 03.
It's a cool color, and it's got... It looks like... It's like a fucking sneaker, honestly. It's definitely... like sneaker colored, you know what I mean? And the Panasports is a fucking cool JDM kind of thing.
Well, it's also like, you know, it's supposed to look like a 70s Trans Am car, essentially, with like a drift vibe to it.
Yeah. It achieves.
Dude, it looks really
achieves
good.
That.
Yeah.
The stripe looks awesome. Yeah.
It's well very done. Cool.
Thank you.
Is it easier now to make Hemi engines work in other applications? I remember
the new ones?
Yeah, I remember for a long time it was like a problem.
Well, it's a physically big motor, and it's a little bit tough with the oil pans and stuff, but it's much easier now. Yeah, and
I thought it was ECU related. Like
that too, that's all sorts. So 5 years ago or so, Mopar themselves gave you like an unlocked ECU
kit. All right, yeah.
And then Holley now has a huge push of like engine mounts, headers, oil pans.
Oh, cool.
It's very swappable. They're doing the mid-70s trucks. You can get a kit, boom, boom, boom. You can have it in like a weekend.
Oh, cool.
That they're doing the Challengers and the Chargers, and they're going to get to the Dusters and stuff too.
And I'm guessing you can get crate engines too,
you
right?
You can, yeah. And Mopar makes a good crate engine. I make a lot of them.
Well, they have that Helifin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's on the street now, finally.
I saw in some shop I follow had made a big deal out of the fact that one had arrived.
Yeah,
they were opening the crate.
I think it took longer for them to get delivered than they intended.
I wonder why that was.
Yeah.
I wonder if the supply chain was messed up in the last 12 months. Yeah. Things were a little behind. Yeah,
exactly.
What was the biggest challenge transforming this into a car that would, you know, drive the way you wanted it to drive?
Well, it's not quite 100% I want to drive just yet, but just like so for me, I like hold this car in like really high regard, and I'm not like a dude that wants to just hack stuff apart. So I like, and I should have just hacked it apart.
These aren't cheap.
Yeah, it's a CUDA. I always wanted one.
Yeah.
And like that was the most money I ever spent on like a shell, essentially. And so I built a three link for the back that like really kept the frame rails intact and kept like pretty much all the floor intact and just like reworked it without like going nuts on it, although now it's got a cage in it and it's a little more gnarly. And we really slapped it together for SEMA that year. And then I kind of just was like, I'd made some compromises in the front end and it bummed me out, so I haven't touched it. But we're essentially jumping into it this year and going to rework a bunch
of it.
It's
rowdy.
But it's a sweet car. And I really like was just, you know, SEMA's, the crunch is killer.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, I was like, I don't want to look at this thing for like a year or two. And I didn't. I was like, just get out of my face. That's like my total dream car. I was like, all I want is a CUDA. That's all I want to do.
And then SEMA just ruined it.
Ruined it. I was like, get out of my face. I hate this thing.
Oh, my God.
And then I would
funny.
Fire it up and be like, oh, it's sick. And it's fast as hell. You know, that 6.4 runs great, and there's nothing to it. And
I mean, that's just a 470 horsepower engine out of the box, right?
You know, there's nothing. I got headers on it.
Just dropped it right in.
That's it.
Oh, wow. It looks great in there.
Yeah, there's not much to it. Super. The car is light as hell, and it works real good.
Is that a giant expansion tank on the driver's side there? That blue tank?
Yeah, it's an AccuSump. Just keep making sure it's got oil all the time.
Pre-oiler?
It can be a pre-oiler, or also like while it's running, if there's ever like a starvation issue, it will flood the engine with oil.
Oh, really?
Okay.
It's a wet sump engine?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. That's fucking cool. I don't know if I've seen that before.
Well, it's nice. Like, so that is essentially got a bladder in it and it holds pressure, and there's valves, either like the physical valve you can change, or I have the electronic one. It's just a solenoid. But like, fire the car up, you close the valve, it's got pressure, right? It's got two quarts ready to rock whenever. You can come back, you can turn the car off and walk away for 2 months and come back and go, psh.
It's still got pressure?
It's got pressure, and you can pre-oil your motor before you fire it up.
Musto has one on his charger for exactly that. It pre-oils before he starts it.
Yeah. Oh, so you have less wear on your cold start?
Which is a lot of the wear of an engine sitting than one that sits,
How interesting. That's cool. Can you add something like that to like anything?
Yeah, of course. It's just teed in line in the oil thing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is there other, besides that one tank, is there like a bunch, is there other shit that goes with it, or is it just that one?
It's not much. No,
really?
Some lines and a solenoid and some switches. It's very
Countach
basic.
I'm thinking about Countach pre-oiling. That could be cool.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's probably a pretty expensive engine to rebuild.
It is.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'll never have to. The metallurgy in Italy in the fucking 80s was terrible.
Okay.
And all Countaches came with valves that were just trash.
Okay.
And so there is a required valve replacement and upgrade if you want to drive your Countach at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, $1,000 a valve.
Nice.
For the stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go, maybe they have, I don't know, titanium or magnesium or whatever the better one is for $2,000 a valve.
Nice.
Mine, thank God, the previous owner did the valve service. So I'm good to go.
That's great.
All I should ever have to do in that car, I swear, is change the oil and make sure things don't like rot.
Yeah.
You know, replace belts and hoses as they, but that's it.
What year is that?
88.
So is that like Motronic or is that CIS?
CIS.
Okay.
Yeah, it's CIS. I have three. My Porsche, my Ferrari, my Lamborghini are all CIS.
Okay, nice.
I'm familiar with the system.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I have it on all the Volkswagens I had as a kid. I loved it.
It works, actually. If you get it right and then keep driving the car, it just works, which I really, really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you have your CUDA, is there a next dream car? The Porsche, right?
The Porsche.
What's the dream Porsche? Is it a built one or a bought one?
I don't know. I go back and forth because I look at like the 996 because I like value and I like being the dickhead in the wrong car a little bit. But I know
comes
but
from that, RX-7s.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll stick with you.
But it's such a dope car. And I'm just now learning about the GT, is it 3
yeah.
that they finally brought over? And they're like a lot.
Oh, you mean the
996.
The 996 RS is coming soon, but they had the GT3 here, yeah.
Yeah, so the 996, like an 04 GT3, is pretty attractive.
Two of my friends have bought them in the last year.
Yeah.
They're really finding the value, and both of them either sell or work on Porsches
they're
for
sick.
A living. Yeah.
I like that. If I was talking like dream car that I would try to buy in the next couple years, I would love to have a manual 550 Maranello.
Oh, yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yep. Man of taste. Mm-hmm. Good choice.
I like those cars.
Good choice. That's More importantly, Pats or Ginos?
Oh, probably neither.
Neither?
Yeah.
What's your steak spot in Philly?
I like D'Alessandro's a lot.
Oh, yeah. D'Alessandro's is good.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Or Tony Luke's is good.
Yeah, those are good, too. Yeah, all right. I like that you abstain from the Pats versus Ginos.
I mean, Pats and Ginos are fine if you want to see a fight at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's great. Can't be done.
Ginos, that's totally right.
Ginos has better fights, I think.
Completely accurate.
Yeah. And if you know.
Completely accurate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is great. And if that's and also, like, they're open forever. So, anyone will get one after, like, a night out.
I saw him on TV, and then we were in Philly once in the daytime, and we went and got one. I was like, "This is not my style of sandwich."
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not good. But it's, you know, it's good when you're drunk and it's late as hell.
Yeah,
and if you
want
need to
chili
see a fist
in,
fight,
inside
that's
bread.
The place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you want a great sandwich in Philly, go to like Reading Terminal or something.
Yeah, or go to Paisano's or something.
Oh yeah. Yes, I love fucking Philly. It's one of
Me
my
too.
Favorite places. Such a good town.
I love Philly. And so like, I was born in South Philly and lived there for a couple of years and then bounced around. but essentially because my family was from South Philly, we were there like every weekend. So I really got to grow up with this like very balanced, like, you know, Doylestown, where I grew up, is like near like the mountains and like farmland, and we could like raise hell and do car stuff. But like we were also super close to the city and like be there all the time. And then I went to college at Drexel. And
oh, you went to Drexel? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, cool. I went to Penn. So it was around the corner.
Yeah.
41st and Spruce, represent.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I lived at 38th and Spring Garden.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Drexel's a cool place. It's a cool school. It's in a good neighborhood. I hung out with a lot of Drexel kids. There are a lot of nice people there.
Yeah, it was cool.
Philly is a really good place to go to college. It's a great, perfect size and experience and variety and walkability for 4 years at a college level, 100%.
Yeah, you know, it's cool. And the schools are good, and, like, it's a lot of interesting people, and there's, like, more culture and history and all this stuff that, like, it doesn't get its due for, and, like,
yeah,
good food and interesting cultures and stuff, so.
Just the fucking roads, man.
That too.
Oh, my God. That Mustang I was talking to you about that I drag raced in Englishtown, sophomore year of college, they won't let freshmen have cars at Penn.
Okay,
it's part of the thing. I think there's just not enough parking.
That's
frankly.
Probably it. But they're like, listen, for your own growth, for your personal growth, we don't have any fucking parking for your own growth.
Basically, yeah. Sophomore year, I brought that thing down. I think I had it there one semester before I was like, this city is going to destroy this car, and I sold it and bought an SUV.
That sounds right.
And that got me through. Yeah. What made you, decide to go, I know what I'm going to do. Make videos about this shit instead of racing. When did you start being a content creator?
I guess, like, it was clear, like, you know, again, I could never wrap my brain around, like, the business side of racing. I just didn't have it. Now I could do it, but whatever. But, like, you know, I just,
but you're
like,
old.
I'm old, and I don't feel like doing it. I would do, like, one or two. I tell Vaughn every year, I'm like, when you want to step out for, like, one, I'll do one or whatever.
Yeah, bro.
Let me know when you want to, I'll tag in for, like, one or two. But, yeah, I just couldn't do it, and I just was, like, always in an underfunded program, and I could drive, and I had a bunch of good, I'd have, like, these sporadic good finishes and good qualifying. I'd qualify in the top 10 here and there, or, like, have a top 8 finish, but we were just always outgunned, and I was like, killing myself, like, with all-nighters, and I was just over it, and I had just gotten married, and my wife was like, you should get a job that earns money. Because that's what the world works with.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I could do that. And then, you know, and it was clear, like, my sponsors weren't stepping up, and it was, like, just going to be more of the same. And I was like, I don't want to do this. So I came out to L.A. after one of the brutal winters to, like, do stunt driving stuff.
Mm.
But I knew I wanted to get into making videos and whatever. I talked to Donut, like, before they even stuck. I was, like, on that hunt, like, where do I fit? And I'd heard that there was an opening at Motor Trend, and then never heard any. I, like, put my name in. I went over to Hoonigan and shot a thing with Scotto's Nova that we were building at the time or whatever.
Cool.
That car is sweet as fuck. It's so good.
100% attitude. All style, so no
good.
Substance.
It's so good.
But I think it rips now.
No, I think it's good now. Yeah, it was rough for a while. I think it's good now.
Well,
yeah.
We like slide. It's another SEMA thing. Put it together and then forget about it.
Yeah.
I would like put my name in, never heard anything, did some stunt driving and a bunch of extra work to get into the Screen Actors Guild, like whatever I could do to shoehorn my way in, because I had done a lot of
getting into stunt driving is hard.
It is hard.
It's not a door that's open to a lot of people, and it takes a little more than being just a really good driver.
Absolutely.
Get some luck and right place, right time.
I had done a stunt school with these guys back east that are awesome, and they'd give me a ton of non-union work. Like, whenever I could get it when I wasn't racing, I was, like, doing a lot of that stuff. But out here, it's a totally different crew. It's all who you know and who's controlling the jobs and whatever. But I was like, I'll come out. I'll do what I can. And essentially, like, put my name in for this Motor Trend gig, didn't hear anything, and, like, my lease, wait, a sublease, it was up, and I just, like, hit them up, like, never heard anything, what's the deal? And I was like, look, I gotta be able to get an answer,
yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So I hit up Scott, I hit up Nadari, I was like, who do I know that knows people at 10 or whatever the company name was at that time? And so I get an email back from this producer, it was like, I've heard your name from, like, 3 people in the last 2 days, like, we should meet.
Cool.
Just come by the shop. So I came through, and she was like, hey, we hired a guy and fired him. Like, he didn't, we hired a guy, that's why we didn't talk about it, and then, like, he didn't work out immediately. David, like, was just unimpressed with his hot rod knowledge.
Okay.
And we're worried that he's not gonna like you either, because you're, like, an import drift racer kid, and I was like, but I have hot rod chops, like, you know, I grew up, I was super into it. So I just met with Freiberger, and we just, like, talked cars, and he was like, could you take a suspension apart? And I was like, yeah, dog, I can do that. Like,
I used to do that overnight.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, so, like, and being...
Would you like me to do it in the dark?
Yeah,
like, however underneath
while the trailer, like, while the trailer's moving, or what do you want? Yeah. So I was like, yes, I can do that. And because I was, like, learned so much stuff as, like, a underfunded pro drift racer, I just, like, had a lot of different skill sets, and they were like, all right, let's give it a shot. And the first couple episodes were super rough, and I was super terrible, and you guys don't have to watch those if you want. Right about season two, I picked, like, my second season, like, really, they were like, the shows were 11 minutes, and they were like, we got to make them longer so we can do stuff. And it was like, they made them 22 minutes, and they let me pick all the builds, which, like, wow. I had a producer that fought for me that was like, just let this kid do what he wants. It's like going to be a different show, but like give him some runway.
Yeah.
And then Lucky, who was behind the camera, came in front of the camera because it was supposed to be me and David, and he went up just focusing on Roadkill and other stuff. So it was just me, which is like a cooking show, which sucked. You know, like I can't.
It's like Stacey, what's this? The old like Power Block TV stuff.
Exactly. You know? Like, that's some guys can do. That's not me, man. And I don't want to do that. Like, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Lucky's super fun, and he's like a great sarcastic, cranky uncle dude who's like, that's him in real life. Everything you see is like him in real life. Just cracking jokes. And
he
fun.
Was a camera op, and then, but he just.
No. He was working on the cars between episodes.
Just filler. He's filler a wrench. Work. Yeah. Okay.
And so they put him, but he's also hilarious. So they're like, put this dude on this other side. Like, put him out there. So we did that, and then, like, they were like, do whatever you want. And I was like, I want to do, like, a low buck turbo LS, which was like, you know, age old question, how fast can you go for cheap? That was our first. Then we were still on YouTube, and at the time, like, boom, that was like the first 2 million views. Like, that was like.
That's
quadrupled our first quadrupled like our viewership, like boom, and then like we were off and running. It was dope after that.
That's awesome.
Before you came in, Zach was like, we were talking for a second about like back in the like pre YouTube, the builds would go like really, they'd go the speed of magazine publishing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one, you know, 3-page article a month. And it's like, and then you'd wait a whole month to see like what they did.
Yeah, what they do. Yeah.
You know, but with YouTube, you're really expected to fucking crank them out, get them done. You know, like, and you don't live in Los Angeles. So like, what happens when the fucking build goes like way, you know, way long because the shit just doesn't work or
well,
whatever.
We do what we can. I mean, we hustle super hard. Me and Lucky can both get quite a bit done in a week. So we shoot like a week per episode. And essentially, if there's like, we get it done, if there's some stuff to button up or whatever, like he'll take it to his shop and do it up.
Uh-huh.
But we've been shooting in PA as well.
Oh, you
and
have?
And then I have
okay.
a shop there. So then I do the off camera stuff or have somebody do
it. Is your shop at your crib?
No.
That would be
I have an old machine shop that I rent. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. So that's it. And it was, like, super fun. Yeah, like, it was weird. I was super nervous. And, like, I was, like, this ain't it. Like, I don't know if this is going to work out. And it was, like, and then immediately, like, the tide turned. And, like, it's just been, everyone's been super supportive. You know, I started my new YouTube, like, a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. Pull that up, Zach. Let's, dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Plug the fuck out of Stay Tuned.
So I just started a YouTube channel called Stay Tuned.
47,000 subscribers already. Very nice.
Yeah, that happened in like the first month and a half, so it was fun. And my biggest one is
hopefully
the 9/11.
You get a little bump here.
Yeah. Come and just look up Tony Angelo, Stay Tuned, and you'll find it. And there's just like.
Well, for your first few videos, you're pulling a few numbers. You're doing all right
not
there.
Not too bad. Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, like, honestly. It's just like me and a buddy or two in my garage doing fun stuff, and it's like more low key and less production value, but it's grimy and it's fun, and you know, people seem to dig it. So, and it's weird to be like, it's so like I just walk out and make something. Like I can just walk out and I'm gonna do this today.
Yeah.
Like I've got 11 cars, I can just go like, oh, I'm gonna do some shit on this one.
That's like we were talking to our friend Freddie Tavares.
Yeah, I love Tavares.
Yeah, he's got 27 cars.
Yeah, he's a maniac. So he gave me a ton of. Like a ton of guidance on YouTube stuff. He's like my go-to guy.
Yeah, he studies that shit.
Yeah.
He knows what to do.
I'm like, what time do I put this out? And he's like, 7:30 on this day. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, all right, cool. What about this thumbnail? He'll be like, send me the thing. And I'll be like, this is better.
If you want, we have a guy. If you want to invest, like we've got this dude who actually will like sit down with you and do best practices and stuff like that. He did with our channel, and it was pretty substantial.
Really?
Improvement. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Wild.
It was worth our money for sure. And time and Zach's our money and Zach's time.
Hey man, it's good.
It made a fucking huge difference right away.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
Yeah, we're just getting started, and it's been it's just been fun, and like you know, to be kind of out there a little bit more is cool.
When you have like you know 6 months or 8 months worth of like content that the dude could study,
okay,
then you should
yeah.
you should have us hook it up because it'll be like. If you could like get that advice like now and not wait 10 years like us,
that'd be great.
It might help you. Zach, was there a bunch of super chat stuff? All right, close the super chat. Go away. If you are, do not get into the super chat, and we will focus on questions for Tony first. If we have, if we've got time left over, we can.
What are these dollar signs?
Those people donate money to us in order to ask questions on the show.
What?
Yeah. That's okay. another thing you can do that, you know, something you could do with your YouTube channel is literally like if you're in the garage just wrenching, you could just straight up go live on YouTube and do like a Q&A where people will pay you just to talk to them while you're,
That's
and
wild.
You don't, what's good about it is it's like a feature built into YouTube that you just have to turn on.
Turn on. Oh,
you
cool.
don't even have to be like, hey, everybody, go to like my Patreon or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
like just, it's a feature that's just there.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's very good. And you could literally just turn on the feed and earn some cash.
That's cool.
Doing Q&A while you're wrenching. Okay. Sean says, Tony, these guys were talking mad shit about Velar Roadrunners and Aspen RTs yesterday. Please educate them. We already talked about
Velare.
Velare?
It's fancy.
It's Volare?
I don't know. I think, so these are just the late 70s.
They were ugly.
Yeah, they're ugly, but I don't hate the Roadrunners because they look like big Novas, kind of, but I'll take any of them. Anything that's, like, at this point, dude, like, you can't buy anything for $10,000 anymore. So,
true.
Like, that's a car you can still buy for $6,000, and that's worth it for sure.
Right. Alberta Yoda says, favorite early concept cars? I love the Plymouth Voyager and Dodge Tomahawk. Any other cool, weird concepts to check out?
Oh, there was a super cool Pontiac one that was, like, extruded over the wheels. I can't remember what it was.
How? What year are we
like
talking about?
Like, 92, I want to say.
Banshee?
Maybe.
The Banshee.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm a scholar of early 90s concept cars.
That's it.
The Pontiac Ooh, Banshee yeah. that became the Pontiac Sunfire and the fucking Cavalier later. Yeah.
Oh, is that the one I'm thinking of? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's it.
That's it. I'm sure that's it.
Okay.
It's got a bit of Firebird.
That was
in it
the
too.
Big deal hot shot. It was 1988.
Okay.
I am a big fan. The Banshee is a great pull. But I'm a big fan of the Detroit Motorama shit from the 50s.
Oh, God,
like
yeah.
The jet,
bubbles and
the
everything.
Jet
oh,
age
the
stuff
best.
Where it, like, you know, the GM, the Firebird concepts, Firebird, like, 1 through 4, which were basically, like, airplane fuselages.
Airplanes. They're like, yeah, do you want an airplane with wheels on it?
Yeah. yeah. And the Alpha Bat cars,
yeah.
For the three mm-hmm. Bat cars yeah. that yeah. sold for $15 million
recently. Show me a bad car.
They sold collectively at auction. They're crazy looking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were all show cars, Torin design. I mean, the fins.
Look at the fins, cool. yeah.
Fins on fins on fins. And in this photo, they go oldest to newest if you move right to left.
Okay.
The that's, newest one was the left one.
That's incredible.
Crazy
Can
looking.
You imagine, like, what an optimistic time it must have been in the fifth? Like, what people must have felt like
yeah.
about the future
oh, yeah.
to build stuff that's this wild and this, like, just hopeful?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's that's when they were starting to talk about autonomous cars a little bit and
oh,
flying
wow.
cars and all this different stuff. You know, we're going to put a toaster and no steering wheel.
Yeah,
it's
be you're
not going
to need steering. You need toast. Yeah. You need that toast.
I went over to Leno's once and he's got one of those Chrysler turbine cars.
Yeah.
He fired that bitch up.
Yeah.
It's like a helicopter
yeah.
starting. It's crazy.
Yeah, and some of the studies they did when they built that, it was melting bumpers of
yeah.
cars that were too
like,
close
this
behind it.
Like, you can't put a helicopter engine in the car.
So many problems.
Yeah. It also probably weighs 8,000 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else we got? Those are good concepts though. Tony, has the Javelin coming?
Oh, the Javelin, it's cool. We're actually, that's what I'm coming back for at the end of the month to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, if you want to pull up, Dan Gurney's 71 AMX Trans Am car.
Oh, cool.
The coolest
Provenance.
Fucking, the coolest fucking.
Oh, wow, look at that.
No, we got to do 71. So if you see my CUDA in the top there, that's like a lot of the inspiration, one of those cars.
Uh-huh.
But you got to do, boop, boop, boop. So to the right, all the way right, and down one. Look at this thing.
Oh, wow. It's really got the stance going on,
doesn't
it?
Look at that thing. So we want to build like a tribute to that beast.
I like that. Ooh, because the front like wheel arches are like busting through the fucking top of the hood.
Sick. So AMC was like a little nobody company that didn't even care about racing for mad long, and then they were like, all right, we're doing this. And it was right when like the gas crunch was about to come and blah, blah, blah. But they won the championship, the Trans Am Championship, in 71 with that car. So we have, I built a badass 401 V8 that like can rev out, and we did a bunch of oiling mods to it, and then I bought that car, and we're gonna essentially do
the
like
actual car.
Not, I mean, yeah, a Javelin, a 72 Javelin.
No, I thought you meant Dan Gurney's. No. I was like, oh, okay, wow, your budget's
bro. Have you seen my show?
I mean, we bought Dan Gurney's car.
We're gonna change
that's it.
It
for 2 years.
We're
that's our whole budget.
It.
Yeah,
no, I mean, you know, I don't know. That weed got me.
Yeah.
No,
I bought a Javelin.
Do you know Jimmy Day? I think he used to run like 3M Media, but he had an AMC Javelin he'd compete with in
the Optima
Street Car Invitational.
Oh, cool.
And we filmed it looks years
like
ago
it's
for
like
a show.
Done up like in the paint scheme.
And I rode with him and I was like, this thing is turning and stopping like a modern
car.
And the dude can drive. It was amazing. And they look tough when they're set up right.
Are those unibody?
That is a unibody car.
It is a unibody car. Oh, that helps. Yeah. That's fucking nice.
So that's, I built a 401 that makes like 475 horse and revs up nice. And then we'll put it in there and essentially do like a street Trans Am vibe. It'll be cool.
Sick. Cool. The Javelin almost looks like what the Australian muscle cars look
like. Yeah, it's got that vibe. It's got a Mad Max. Like, yeah, I don't know what this is, but I like it.
Slightly funky proportions. It's totally. like when the muscle cars went to Australia, it was like someone told them how to do them like on napkins, and it's like not quite right. That's fucking cool. All right.
No.
What else we got? Favorite movie car?
Favorite movie car, probably the Challenger from Tulane Blacktop.
Uh-huh. Good choice. That's a good one. Yeah, good choice. I have no choice but to say the Back to the Future DeLorean.
You have a Countach, though.
Cannonball Run Countach, of course. Or if we're talking about fictional cars, the Tim Burton Batmobile.
That's sick, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a wild car.
Alan says, what is the craziest drift car you've ever seen? And votes for the Lexus LFA with a turbo NASCAR engine.
I mean,
is that real?
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Lexus LFA with a turbo NASCAR engine? Who's the fucking Italian bloke who's got the 599 with two superchargers on it?
Caught on fire at Long Beach.
It did the first time he took it out. That makes sense. Oh, that's Emma Murray's car?
Oh, wow.
So he used to drive the Apex FD. I liked him a lot, always.
D1 GP Lexus LFA.
My favorite thing about all the Japanese guys is they had some weird backstory. He worked at a flower shop. He's like kind of a big burly Japanese guy who like drove 86s like a goddamn maniac, and then had FD like was like what happened was like they're all these street kids, and like every big tuning house would be like you, and they'd pick like Kazama or like you know, and like Apex was like you're the guy, and they put him in the FD, which was like a magnificent car. But they like would show his regular life is like working in a flower shop,
like a hitman.
So ridiculous.
Wow.
That's I mean, nutty. Isn't that the Initial D story?
But it's totally real. Like, it seems so realistic.
LFA makes a very good-looking drift car, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is that, I mean...
It's got to be fire.
It's a real car. It's a real LFA. It's a two-frame. And the proportions look right. It doesn't look like a two-frame car.
Oh, my God. That is very
expensive.
You might
have answered your own question there.
It's got to be like a pre-pro dollar car that they got or something.
Or crashed or something.
Something.
Yeah, probably crashed. I don't think they made dollar
cars. The 599 is pretty fucking awesome.
It is
pretty
wild.
That's pretty nuts. And we were talking about Forsberg's Altima.
That's wild. I haven't seen that yet, but it's pretty wild.
It's real crazy.
That's one of them for sure.
Troggy wants to compliment it that he saw you bench press the transmission into blasphemy at Drag Week at MIR in 19.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I did.
What a G. Was it a bench press or an overhead press?
I was sitting on my back.
Oh, yeah.
Under the car. We were hustling. Yeah, Finnegan's Blasphemy. Do you know that car?
Yeah, it's got the Hemi. It's
a 55 with a Hemi in it. Yeah. And we won our clag. I did Drag Race. He's a gasser, And he like really lit that trend on fire. But he had been trying to win Drag Week for a couple years and came close, and then I did it with him, and he had gotten the car prepped nice, and I was, I'd never really been like a crew chief. I'm always the guy behind the wheel, so it was really fun to like be helping, but also like we were on a hustle that week. I mean, like we were the last guys into every event.
In this photo, is the car on fire?
Probably.
I mean, under the front wheel.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
That looks like fire. I mean, it looks like proper fire, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It does not look like a
war. Or can you just really see right through it to the other side?
Nope.
That's fire, right?
There's an engine in the way. Yeah,
all right, cool.
Something.
Good photo.
Yeah, it looks cool. But yeah, that car is sick. And yeah, at one point we were like winning our class. We were looking good to win the whole thing. But you got Drag Week is such a haul. It's amazing. And we had to get one run in. We had to, like, he broke first gear and tried to run it with second. And essentially, it's a similar G-Force gearbox to what I ran in the drift car. So I rebuilt it with him. I was like, I know how to build this. So we did it. And we were tight on time. And I was like, we're going to make it. Like, don't worry about it. And then I just threw it on my chest and threw it in. It's not that heavy.
Rebuilding transmission seems hard.
It's, well, race parts are sick, man. I mean, you got to wrap your brain around, like, they made this thing come apart like a clamshell. Uh-huh. And then, like, you throw some, the gears come off with no tools. You slam them back on. You put it back together and you throw it in.
Oh, so it's actually much easier than, like, a street transmission.
Absolutely. If it's shimmed up right, you just pull gears off and throw them in.
Yeah, I watched Dayo Shahara's team rebuild his transmission for Pike's Peak, like, in a shop. And, you know, it was, when once they took the trans out, it was just almost like a rectangle.
Yep.
It was a sequential. And they took off an end, and there was just lots of metal rods, and one guy knew where all the pieces went, and he knew which way all the washers had to fit, and
stand back.
Yep.
Don't touch my bench.
And he's like, I've done this a bunch of times, but I was looking at, like, fucking magic.
Yeah.
Cool.
But that was like one of the funnest things I've ever. It was a super proud moment when we won, and, like, it was just a really, really fun trip.
Cool. How many drag strips is Drag Week? Is it one per day, or it's multiple?
Yeah, it's
per
one
day?
A day. You got to drive a few hundred miles. Mm-hmm. Put your times in and keep going. And then, of course, these cars are, I mean, that car has got 1,200 wheel horsepower or something. I mean, it's not a car that make that kind of power
it's
break.
It's the drag stuff. Racing version of One Lap of America.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's hard.
It hard is hard, on car. Yeah. One Lap is also cool, but we did a much worse job. We did that too, but we made it like one drag.
I mean, if you're going to do One Lap, just bring a fucking stock car.
Yeah, I would do it in my Cuda, maybe, if it was really dialed.
You'd be so exhausted.
Yeah.
You'd be so exhausted. And I think, there's a vintage class, and you'd probably do really
That's
well.
That's what I would do it for.
You do well in that.
We brought an old Firebird, a 69 Firebird, but we wound up getting... I blew the motor up in 2 seconds. They're like, you can't rev it up. And I was like, all right, cool.
All right.
And then but yeah, Brock Yates is like my neighbor back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I love Brock. Man. Yeah, he's a sweet guy. We got to get Brock on the show.
You should.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
That'd be cool.
I have his number. Let's do that. Mark says, it looks like the low volume replica car law is becoming closer to reality. Have we heard anything new about it? Is this different from the ultra low volume vehicle manufacturer thing? I don't know if there's a new law, Mark. There's laws that govern, NHSTA has completed a regulation permitting low volume motor vehicle manufacturers to begin selling replica cars that resemble vehicles produced 25 years ago.
So it looks like the car, but it wasn't actually made 25 years ago?
Like,
so,
you could make the GT4, exactly what I was thinking.
Oh,
yeah.
You could make a new R33.
But was it, this is,
but I think what they're saying is it doesn't have to, like, it wouldn't have to be smoggable.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Scroll, scroll down. Okay. The law was set. I didn't realize they've been sitting on this ultra low volume thing for 5 years.
Yeah.
It sat untouched until this January. Oh, okay. So, all right. We'll have to read some more about this. I don't want to just read articles on the show. But
we're not up to speed on this one.
We're not one. Sorry.
We're not lawyers.
But we will check it out.
It looks cool, or if you don't like it, it sucks.
Definitely. Right, was there one more?
The other questions were kind of...
just general stuff?
You know, car buying stuff, watch stuff.
Okay, we can save
this. And Lucky's Garage, $4.
Lucky's Garage.
Lucky gave us $4.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lucky.
All right.
He sent an R.
So, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Is it youtube.com/?
It's not even decided what it is yet.
Not yet? Okay.
Yeah,
so just search for Stay Tuned, Tony Angelo on YouTube. You will get many videos.
Yeah, there's a few up there, and I just shot my 240 getting fired up after sitting for like 12 years or whatever.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And, of course, Hot Rod Garage is on the Motor Trend app.
Yep.
Motor Trend On Demand, all those places where Motor Trend things are.
Yeah, you watch it on cable, or you could subscribe to the app.
What are you going to do with your fucking FD car? I saw you had your...
I don't know. We talked about... I was going to do another Motor Trend show. We talked about, like, firing up and, like, just showing up. And being like, can we get in here? Like, getting it running and showing up to FD. Like,
can I get some time?
Can I get a minute?
They'd
can
like
I,
the rigs
can
have
I
changed
qualify
a little,
this
but...
or whatever? Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I want to do something cool with it.
Yeah,
for sure.
It runs?
It does run. It needs probably a mile like bearings in the motor. It sat for so long.
Uh-huh.
But that is a wild. I mean,
what engine is it on? What, 2J?
It's a 2AZ, so it's like the Camry four-cylinder, 2.4 bored stroke to 2.6. Similar to what Osbo ran in his TC.
Oh, yeah.
It's 2,550 pounds with no ballast in it, and it would do like almost 800 wheel.
Wow.
It's a fucking animal.
That's kind of crazy.
I mean, like,
crazy.
That car,
that's
I'll let
nuts.
You drive it. It is. Shit happens fast. It happens fast.
You need a big skid pad.
Yeah.
I drove an FD car from, like, 2014, and it was gnarly.
Yeah.
And I don't even want... Everyone tells me that what they've got now is like puts that shit to complete
shame.
Well,
they're driving like almost an 8-second car. And then you fucking throw it sideways after like, you know, after an eighth
halfway
mile.
Down the quarter mile.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's what's so nuts with the Hoonigans, you know, this versus that, is they'll bring out like a drag car, a built drag car, and they'll run it against Tanner's drift car or someone in drift car. And it's like, oh, well, and the guys are always downplaying, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's a drift car. It's only a 265. And it just fucking destroys whatever's out there.
Those
just
cars,
lays rubber. It's crazy.
Like, they're the fastest cars with doors that people race pretty around turns anywhere, pretty much. Like, it's people don't understand, like, period, nothing. And I let Raphael from Jalopnik in my, he made it, like, around one turn. And, like, off the track. Because it's like, and it's a four-cylinder, and in my opinion, it's got a really broad power band. But
what is it, where does it really...
So it's nitrous down low, a ton of nitrous down low. So it's like 45 to 8 is...
That's
insanity.
Pretty, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
But right about 6, it hits hard. And he'd just be like,
pfft. Yeah, that makes 12 times the power of Raph's daily driver, right? Doesn't he still drive the bug?
Probably. Yeah, he had a bug at a time. Yeah.
I mean, I tried to, I drifted, the FD car was LS based.
Yeah.
And then I tried a Silvia that had a 4-cylinder with a giant fucking turbo, you know, and it was like 6 to 9 is where you got the power. And so it was much harder.
This car does not. I'll let you drive it. It is.
Okay.
It does not.
Yeah, sure.
It does not feel like a 4-cylinder. It just feels like a fucking freight train.
It's
unbelievable.
I would love to try that.
And when I put
when
the
it works, call me.
Yeah,
I'll,
the secret is nitrous. It's just like run 100 shot down low to spool the big turbo.
Yeah.
And then guys turn it off. We never turned it off. Most guys turn it off at like 20 pounds once we're up in the boost, but I just left it on. let it run.
Why would you turn the nitrous off?
They're like, well, we could turn it off. And we're like, fuck it,
but
let it
don't.
Run.
Yeah, Forsberg was talking about the nitrous setup. It's the
Nice.
Thing.
Well, it's like because the conditions are so like... I'm going to run this for 20 seconds. Like, what's the best way? And you're like, just put nitrous on it. I mean, that's where shit works. Like, I don't even like nitrous on a street car, but on a race car where you have like a 10-second run, put it on it. Yeah, it works great.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for coming down, Tony.
Yeah, dude, this was
a good time.
Super
and thanks
fun.
For the Pilsner, Kel. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Philadelphia represent.
Yeah.
In the victory that we
didn't
drink.
Yeah, I brought
drink.
Victory
in the victory we didn't drink. Victory's good.
Yeah.
It's good shit. We'll be following your new YouTube channel and
awesome.
Shit. And every
cool.
when you circle through town again, come,
definitely.
Come see
I had
us
a
again.
Blast.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's our show. We are back next week with, I don't even know who the fuck is in town.
Something on Friday.
I have absolutely
I'm looking forward to it.
No idea.
Or you're going to hate it.
Yeah, I'm going to hate it. Whatever you guys think.
Oh, Friday. No, Friday. Henry Catchpole.
Oh,
Henry,
yeah,
Henry Catchpole, Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a good remainder of your evening. Bye.